Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duckdown Studios in Oxford, Mississippi on this Friday afternoon. Joining me today and helping me drive the bus, Josh Webb. Josh, you're north of me. That's unusual.
I did what now?
You're north of me. Usually south.
Oh, I know. Well, it's going to become very, it's going to be the new thing. It's going to be the new thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That is true.
Yeah, it's going to be the new thing before too long, because we're moving back north after baby number two. So, so you'll be the southernmost.
Man,
but don't say I didn't call. I hope people realize that. Like, you know, Rocky just honks the horn when he comes by my house. I actually call, and sometimes he don't answer. So last night I called, no answer. So I sent him a picture to prove to him I was coming through Oxford.
What were you doing sucking on your beard in that picture? Are you a beard sucker?
No, I just had to be looking down weird. I was trying not to get pulled over by Oxford police.
Do you suck on your beard, though?
No.
I think a beard sucker is it's as bad as a smacker. No.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Part of either one of them.
Yeah, no, I can't stand that.
Let me give you another weird Rocky fact. I do not like sounds that come from the mouth. And I don't want to see you sucking on your facial pubic hair.
All right, but now, all right, Rocky, is that like because you can't grow a beard, or you just...
No!
Okay,
it's
just
gross! Gross.
No, it is.
I see people taking that tip, you know, that where it comes to the point right there up under your lip, you know, and it gets long enough, they flip it up in their mouth and they suck on it.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
Is that like a...
I don't know. I don't do that.
Pacifier replacement or something?
Probably.
In your latter life?
I don't know. I don't do that. Not my thing.
I looked at that picture. I said, please don't tell me Josh Webb is sucking on his beard.
No, I try not to hold. I held my phone up and took a picture of the Oxford sign when I came in town. Of course, I'm, you know, people all, you know, driving up down everywhere, and my freaking phone flashed. So then I drew the attention of everybody. I was like, all right, great. So, which the picture was, because I was taking a picture of the Oxford sign. So I was like, well, screw it. I'll just take a picture of myself driving and send it to you. It's just the way it came out. I was looking down.
It is Independence Day in Oxford today.
You're going to have to explain that one.
It is Independence Day in Oxford today because for the next 2 months, we get our roads back. All the college kids are gone from today until somewhere around the 20th of January. Month and a half. Who gets out of school for a month and a half?
So,
they barely let us out a week when I was in college.
Yeah, so they So, yeah, that's my thing. Well, look.
These turd heads are getting out a month and a half. No wonder they're sorry.
Yeah, but could you imagine if you hunted?
Oh, boy.
Oh, look, let me tell you something about that. So, wow. I guess since this is the direction we're going to go now. Yeah, which I still got to enjoy some pretty long holidays when I was in college. I wasn't in college that long ago. I mean, 8 years ago, whatever it was. But my high school now is on this, I don't know what it's called, some kind of new schedule curriculum thing. So they go to school year round, same amount of days, but they start school end of July, and graduation's like the middle of June. But they go to school the same amount of days, but they the breaks like Thanksgiving break or fall, they have a fall break that's 2 weeks long. They have a Christmas break is 2 or 3 weeks long. Spring break is 2 or 3 weeks long, and then summer break is like a month. So if that would have been the case when I was in school, my teachers would have been a lot happier with me, because the time periods now when they're taking 2 and 3 week breaks was always the time when, you know, I'd come to school late or not come to school at all because I was hunting. And if I was in high school now, I'd have it made. I mean, to have the whole, like, especially the wintertime break's about the same, but especially to have that first 3 weeks of turkey season out of school, Lord have mercy.
Oh.
I probably would have been, you know, I probably would have gone up at least a whole point in my GPA if that had been the case, because I would have actually been at school the rest of the time. But, man, I don't know. Anyway, something like that. Yeah, well, the best, you ask most kids their favorite part of school is when they're out, so.
Like the weekend, you're always looking forward.
Well, so what does that do though? Like for you, you're talking about living in Oxford, and you've got your roads back for the next month and a half. A good friend of mine owned a restaurant in Oxford forever, and he always hated it because his business went down to nothing. Yeah,
hey,
I mean, it went down to nothing.
Before I tell you that, Spencer Halford's coming up in just a minute. Old Spitz talks about his week out in Kansas, coming back and hunting white oak duck woods. And we talk a little bit about the Rolling Thunder Webisodic series, which this last episode, man. Woo,
I hadn't watched it yet. Don't spoil it for me.
Yourself if you don't tear up on that one.
Yeah, don't spoil it for me. I have not watched it yet.
All right, so let's talk about Oxford for a minute. Then I got a hack for you. I want you to try while we're doing the podcast. Oxford, when school is in, all right, so, like I've always told you, we're living in one of our, one of the few rental properties that we own here in Oxford right now. While we're building, we're right at 40 acres, right out in the country, and actually got started on barn and stuff this week, and barn dominium and barn. All right, literally, I am separated right now where I live, a mile from Walmart.
Okay.
I need to run to Walmart to pick up anything.
Hold up. Is that like a run, like lace up your tennis shoes, since you're only a mile? Or is that... Okay,
heck no.
You said it. I mean, you're sitting there talking about you can see Walmart. So, okay. Go ahead.
I'm not running anywhere. I'm not running anywhere, man. I ran down the stairs and flipped over 4 times yesterday. Just about died. Wilson crawled over me in his Spidey underwear, and he said, "Daddy, you alive?"
Okay, all right.
So, during school life, during school day,
go ahead.
It could take, just to get a mile, it could take 20 to 25 minutes.
I would pull my hair out.
Driving.
Nuh-uh. I would pull my hair out.
Out of school? Dude, it's like a ghost town. It's like the zombie apocalypse has hit. There's nobody.
You know, that was one of my favorite things about when I was at school at Delta State, because everybody talked about, you know, Delta State. You know, I mean, everybody, Delta State's a big school, but everybody went, majority of the people either commuted, or it's a lot of people who lived kind of in the central part of the state, you know, within a 2 or 3 hour drive. So they would go home on the weekends. Crap, I loved it. Man, I loved it. Of course, the whole time I was at Dutch State, Katie and I were dating, and you know, her parents lived, you know, an hour from there. But, oh, man, Friday about lunch, Cleveland was, it was like tumbleweeds rolled through. I mean, it was nothing. But I loved it. I mean, you could actually do stuff. I mean, and you know, we got to where we'd stay, you know, kind of our group of friends, we'd stay in town those weekends because you could actually go eat somewhere and you could actually have a good time. It's definitely that way in the, around those college towns. When the holidays hit, there's nothing. It's dead. It's got to be nice for the permanent residents. Whew. I guess, unless, like I said, you have a business that relies on that crowd. Pros and cons to all of that. Hey, I've got something real quick, though, before we get to Spencer. I got something for you. You need to realize the business opportunity that you're missing out on in the franchise world. Now, I know you've been a part of it on the food side, but you know, something funny that mean or a funny thing that mean you've talked about before are Dollar Generals and how they're just going up. There's Dollar Generals everywhere now. I could probably give you 25 guesses, and you would not guess where I'm about to tell you one is currently being built. Yeah, you would never guess. You just wouldn't. But if it can happen here in this little place and be successful, then there's something to this business model, Rocky, I'm telling you. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. I had to get two or three people to confirm it.
Is it somewhere where you are right now?
No. It's south of me, south of you. All right, get ready for this. Black Hawk, Mississippi is getting a Dollar General.
That would have definitely been way down my list of guesses.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I thought it was a joke. But they are getting a Dollar General. You know.
Hey, why don't you try something? I got a life hack. I'm gonna teach you something today.
Oh yeah, yeah. You mentioned something about that.
This is a frustrating pen and paper to me up until I figure this out this week. All right, go to your text message. It's like you're gonna text me.
Okay. I know what this is gonna be. Go ahead. I know what it's.
You
gonna
heard
be,
about
though.
It?
Go ahead. Tell me.
So you heard about this? Type in a bunch of letters.
I know. You hold the space bar down.
Yeah.
Katie, my wife, we were riding down the road probably 2 weeks ago, me and my wife, going to the baby doctor. And you know, Katie's quiet. She's sweet as can be. And all of a sudden, I just from the passenger seat, I hear, well, holy crap, it works. And I went, what are you talking about? She said, get your phone out.
All right, so for those of you that are listening to this, have you always wondered how to get to that certain spot in a word that may be misspelled or you can't go back to the beginning on the front of a sentence or whatever you want to do? Hit that space bar. You can go up. You can go down. You can go anywhere you want to. Hit it, hold it down, move it around. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go anywhere you want. You don't have to sit there in backspace and try to tap with fat fingers to get between letters and all this other junk. I know.
Didn't somebody tell me this?
Exactly what Katie said. Katie said, why is this not like, when you open your iPhone, why is this not like, hey, you can do this?
Yeah, in the tutorial.
I know. Oh, and look, we might be two of the last idiots left on Earth that don't know this also. But
I mean, everybody that's listening
everybody might be going, really?
If you didn't know about this before, we're talking about it right now, I put it in there, just so I didn't know. Put it in the comments. I want you to put it below the post.
I did not know. Mm-hmm. Didn't know.
Nobody else is going to know what you're talking about. Mm-mm. Just put didn't know.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that, too.
So,
but yeah, it is a life changer. I'll give you that. But look, I want everybody. I want to get to this with Spence as much as you do. It's another fantastic one with Spence.
All right, well, Josh, I know you'll be heading back to Kruger. You heading to Kruger or Madison today?
Kruger. Kruger to go and I'm going to Kruger. I probably end up in Madison sooner or later, but I'm going back to Kruger today anyway. I'm just running all over the place, man. I'm just seeing all these beautiful roads Mississippi has.
All right, well, bud, well, let's get to this interview with Spence now. Be careful on your way home. Holler and hope
you're
going through Oxford. And we will talk to you next week. All right, guys, like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Fitcher Halford. Spence, as he's told me many times, he likes to be called, is joining us today. Spence, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you today, Rocky?
I'm doing good. How did Kansas treat you?
Kansas was good. We settled the age-old debate, which ones are better, ducks or geese. Ducks are definitely better. When we duck hunted, we shot them to heck. And when we goose hunted, we, you know, piddle-farted around with geese. But the duck hunting was fantastic. We hunted with Ben Webster at Big Kansas Outdoors, and I took five guys from my church, some buddies that don't get to get out of town too much, and showed them the Midwest, and they loved it. We had a blast. We stayed at a nice bed and breakfast that Ben uses as a lodge, and I mean, I highly recommend Ben's operation. Those guys did a great job.
Ben, man, that's a name, not so much Ben, but Big Kansas Outdoors is a name. If you're following in the waterfowling world, you hear more and more often.
Yeah, they're doing a good job, really good job.
All right, so you drive back home on four ball tires last night, and you don't make it all the way.
Yeah,
home.
So
you stop.
Let me give you the story on the four ball tires. Okay. So I've got a 12-foot enclosed trailer. It's our goose trailer. Take it to trade shows, stuff like that. So I think that one of the axles on it is bent, because on every long road trip, like if I go to Canada on four brand new tires, by the time I turn around to leave Canada and come home, I pretty much have to replace two of the tires. At least one of them, but usually it's two of them that are the treads just worn off of them. And so we got up to Canada this year and we didn't replace them because I took two spares. So we just threw the two spares on there and took the two bald tires and threw them back in the trailer. Well, right after we got back from Canada, we went up and hunted in Missouri a couple of days. And while we were in Missouri, Dylan's transmission went out in his truck. And I didn't stay in Missouri as long as he did. So I left my trailer so Dylan and his buddies could, you know, have a honker spread. They're kind of goose nerds and they'd rather shoot honkers than ducks. And so I left my trailer with all my stuff in it so they could do that, figuring that we would just, he would drag it back to Memphis. Well, trailer's in Missouri and he's out hunting and his transmission goes out. They can't get it fixed at the dealership. They give him a loaner. Long story short, he's got a brand new truck to drive to come back for Arkansas, like opening day in the first week of the season, but they won't let him pull anything. So my trailer stays in Missouri. So now my trailer has gone to Canada and back and then to Missouri. It's gone about 10,000 miles, which is about 4,000 miles more than any set of tires on that trailer should use. So I got four bald tires and the spares in there are bald. So I tell Dylan Farrell from Instagram, the resident millennial around Rolling Thunder game calls, that he needs to take the two spares and go get us a couple fresh tires. Like literally, I'm like, just drop it off at a tire shop and pick them up. Well, I roll in to pick him up Monday afternoon and the two spares are bald and all four tires on the trailer are bald. So I'm like, and so I huff pretty good, but we still got 4.5 hours. It's like, you know, it's like noon, 2 o'clock, something like that. And we got a solid 4.5, 5 hours to get to meet Ben's folks to hunt Tuesday morning. I'm like, well, just screw it. We're going to go on to Kansas. So we go on to Kansas and we make it. We're fine. And they're balder than they were when we left. And, well, we get done hunting on Thursday and I get a little phone call that says, you probably ought to be here tomorrow morning in Arkansas to hunt. That's today. So we tear out of central Kansas yesterday at noon and we drove all the way. We got here about 1 a.m. It was a 12.5, 13-hour drive. And those trailer tires are still bald as a baby's butt. So we're about 8,000 miles now past needing a new set of tires. So it's a miracle that we made it. It's a miracle.
Oh.
And speaking of that, listen to this, what happened. You would think that the tires would be the worst thing, but we're somewhere between Emporia, Kansas, and Wichita, going up a little hill, and I hear a boom, like a big loud boom, sound like somebody hit the tailgate with a baseball bat. Rocky, the trailer comes off the ball of my truck. I'm towing it with nothing, but the safety chain.
The chain?
I mean, sparks flying. It's, you know, like this number. And I'm like, there it is. We've had a blowout. We've had 3 tires blow out all at the same time. We're screwed. You know, we're never going to make it back. My buddy's in the back seat. He's like, no, Spence, it ain't a blowout. Something's wrong with the tongue. And then you can see it like weaving left and right and banking off the safety chain. So we coast on over. Of course, we were in the left-hand lane running about 80, you know. We coast on over to the right-hand side and on the shoulder. And I mean, we're on a hill. It's about a 30% grade. And 2 guys get on the back end of it and 2 guys get on the front end of it. We lift the tongue up. It weighed about 2,000 pounds. They push from the back while we lift up the tongue. We put it back on the ball, lock her down, and we headed on to Arkansas.
Oh,
it was an event.
That's not the only thing. As crazy as all of that sounds, that's not the only thing that happened on this trip, right? As far as a vehicle, vehicular problems.
The new Black Betty is just not. She's just not cut out of the same wool that the OG Black Betty is. I mean, I ran her out of fuel for the second time. I mean, I've got 8,154 miles on this truck, and I ran it out of fuel plumb out for the second time already. And Black Betty would have never run out of gas, ever. I mean, she did, but she didn't run out 22 miles after the need to get fuel light comes on. So,
I think I may use the picture that's in our group message. Of y'all pushing the new Black Betty down the interstate.
Oh man. That was an event for sure.
Hey, before we jump into to Arkansas today, and then we've got another topic at hand that I know that I want to talk about, but you brought up an interesting point back at the beginning. I didn't want to interrupt you, but you know what? I was exposed to what you're talking about, the goose nerds. See, I call it hoodie and honker disease. Everybody that ran around wearing the hoodies or chasing honkers.
And got those white Oakleys and black hoodies on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all Flatlanders out of the Midwest. Them Flatlanders out of the Midwest chasing those sky pandas.
Oh man, I was in South Dakota, and when I first got exposed to it, thank goodness I'd had my shots for it. I didn't catch it, but we had ducks landing on our blind, literally, and they were worried about 2 snow geese that were half a mile away that they were trying to work in. I'm like, there's thousands of mallards sitting on us.
Somebody
looked at me.
I know.
But in honker disease.
Yeah. And all the goose guys, they're just like, ducks are stupid. Ducks are stupid. You can always shoot a limited duck. Ducks are stupid.
All right, so let's jump ahead. You get to Arkansas, and I think you're fixing to blow people away where you were. You know, we're going to get into the Mississippi word. You were blessed this morning to be able to hunt where you did, where you were.
Yeah, hashtag blessed for sure. yeah, Monday I got a call from Jeff Farmer at White Oaks Duck Woods, and Jeff is a fellow Memphian, fellow out-of-stater, and we've gotten to be buddies over the last year or so, and Jeff called Monday and said, man, there's a lot of ducks here. The cashier's out, and he always has, I mean, he always has a lot of ducks. He does a good job of managing and holding a bunch of ducks, but when the cash gets out, he has just a lot of ducks, and the cash was rising, and he went Sunday. He told us we could take some kids Saturday for the youth day, but he told me that Friday morning after I'd already promised a couple buddies that we would hunt with them, and it was some other kids in Tripp's class. So he was excited about hunting with some of the guys, some of the other little boys in his first grade class there. And so we told Jeff we couldn't make it Saturday morning. So he went to the woods himself Saturday and Sunday and just called ducks. And I mean, he was text messaging me videos all morning long of just wads of mallards. And he said, you need to be here Thursday morning. And I was like, man, I'm going to be in Kansas Thursday morning. He said, well, you need to be here Friday morning then. And I said, all right, I'll be there. So the weather yesterday was great here, and they smashed them. But today it was low clouds and a little just kind of, I don't know, not what you want for the woods. And we shot them great. I mean, we didn't get any great big bunches, but it was, you know, twos, threes, and fives kind of thing, just squared up pretty as a picture. And, man, I mean, yeah, I've been pinching myself all morning. I told Dylan just a little while ago, I was like, man, like, I don't know, goose nerd, I don't know if you really appreciate what we just participated in this morning. This is it's in a different league for sure. It was incredible.
Right. I'm not going to take credit for this point because you brought it up in the pre-talks. And I think it's an interesting point. As you're sitting there on private land, and that's mostly what I've hunted my whole life. I've never had to do what a lot of you guys have done. And you got to sit there when you're hunting public. And like I said, you brought this point up. That you think about that. All right, what if these ducks don't swing out too far and somebody shoots them on my swing? You know, you got to picture think those thoughts.
Well, I mean, when you're hunting in the public woods, there's a lot of other people around, and you may be in the best spot. And so, like, to shoot 30 or 40 mallards, you may have worked enough ducks to actually shoot 100 mallards. Because, I mean, for every group you get to center it up and do it right and fall down in the hole and shoot them right with their feet down over the top of the water. Like, when to do that, there's three or four groups that swing out wide and they're setting up and you got them. They're coming to you, and somebody shoots a wood duck flying by, or somebody, you know, shoots into another volley. And I'm not talking about like harassment. I'm just talking about it's just the nature of public land. You know, you're working. Yeah, you're working some ducks, and somebody else gets some ducks in, and they shoot. And so it's like, dang. But it's like, it's just kind of part of how you just learn to deal with that. It's just part of it. You know, one out of every 5 or 10 bunches that you work and get circling, you might get to finish, because the other 4 out of 5, you know, somebody's going to shoot, or somebody's going to start a boat motor, or just any number of things. You definitely – at least I do, and I'm sure other duck hunters that hunt in the woods think the same thing, but I've often wondered, you know, if I had this place, not White Oaks, but wherever I was hunting at the time, this WMA, like if I was the only guy in here, or only group in here, and these ducks were, you know, were swinging the woods, like I wonder how many of these groups we could finish. And it was pretty cool this morning. I mean, Keith Allen was there, and he's a fantastic duck caller. I mean, he's in a league of his own. And, I mean, I stood and watched more than anything, but just pretty cool bucket list for sure to to be able to shoot a limit of mallards in the woods at White Oaks with Jeff Farmer and Keith Allen, I feel very blessed for sure.
What stood out?
I don't mean that in a cliche way.
Well, you know, you're used to hunting at public land. What really stood out to you?
Honestly, what stood out to me, and this is, Jeff would probably laugh if he heard me say this, it really tickled me how much Jeff really likes to kill them. Like, he wanted to shoot every time two or three got right, he wanted to shoot them. And kind of the way that our group hunts in the woods, we try to troll for the big groups so that, because you may not get five or eight or 10 groups in the morning. You may only get two groups, but if you get two groups of 30 or 40 right, and you got 15 guns, you know, you might can kill 30 or 40 ducks in two volleys just because you got a lot of people and you get those ducks down the trees, you kill a bunch of them. And so we hunt that way, not because we're snobs, but because it's kind of the nature of the beast. It's the most effective way to kill a bunch of them.
Fantastic.
is to try to troll for the big bunches. Well, you know, when you don't have to do that, you know, every time we get three or four right, you know, Jeff wanted to kill him. And I thought that was awesome. I mean, there's a guy who's got this beautiful place at his fingertips, and it's as fine of oak flat, flooded oak flat as you could find on the face of this earth. I mean, I don't know of another one. It's as prettier than Biomeda or Hurricane or any of those big blocks of, you know, hardwood flooded timber. And, man, he hadn't lost the fire. I mean, that boy wants to see him die, you know, and he'd have been happy if there were four or five more guys that wanted to slide in the hole and, you know, just watch them shoot their limit. Like, he wanted to kill them all, every one of them that we could. And, I don't know if I had this at my fingertips every morning, I don't know if I would be that, I don't know, bloodthirsty. That's not the right way to say it, but, I think I would get spoiled. And I guess what I'm saying is that boy's not spoiled about what he's got. He doesn't just have this place to, like, try to, it's not about lifestyles of the rich and famous or trying to, you know, just enjoy the finer things in life. He's got this place because he wants to kill a limit of mallards every morning that it's humanly possible. And so, that probably impressed me as much as anything. So, I don't know. But it's a very cool place.
I want to jump off into the main point. Yesterday, or it actually 2 days ago, Rolling Thunder Game Calls released chapter 3 or 4?
3. It was yesterday morning.
All right. So, chapter 3 was released, and I don't know if it gets better than that. I keep saying this about the stuff that y'all are putting out, but man, maybe because I have a son of my own, maybe because my dad was such a huge part of my hunting life and who I am. I don't know, man. If that one doesn't hit you in the heart and bring a tear to your eye, whew, you may want to check yourself. Dude, that was good.
Good deal. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a special weekend for sure.
And that, you know, what's so funny about it is a couple of weeks ago, we actually talked about y'all going on this hunt. And y'all got it out.
Yeah.
The post-production, you got it out that quick. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dylan's good at that stuff, for sure. It was a neat time. I mean, I really wasn't planning on hunting until just a couple days before, you know, 3 or 4 days before it opened. I guess I was, up until that point, I really was planning to deer hunt. We had a couple good deer that were pretty regular on camera, and Dad wanted a deer hunt, and Tripp was enjoying it. So I really thought that's what we were going to do. And but Tripp decided he wanted to go to duck camp, and so away we went.
And I think that if my dad was here, he would want to, you know, be there and be a part of my son's first hunt, or not really first hunt, but be a part of that opening day duck hunt. Even though my dad killed enough ducks in the 70s and 80s, you could not talk him. I couldn't personally talk him into going with me.
But once his grandkids came around, I think he could have been persuaded to do anything with the grandkids.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that's a pretty accurate description of where my dad's at. He, I mean, we're together every day because we're business partners. And I don't take that for granted at all. I'm grateful to be friends with my dad and to have him still alive and all that. But he definitely, he got a soft spot in his heart for whatever Trip wants or what those girls want, for sure.
I was going to say my dad was one of the Kroger sack hunters back in the day.
What's
I'm
that
sure
mean?
Everybody has heard of the old Kroger sack hunters. Where they
I don't know
the
about that.
They didn't go by a limit. They just went by the Kroger sack.
Oh, I got you. I got
but
you.
I thought, let me say this. I thought that the, and I don't know if this, I don't want to get into that part of it, but the whittling, you know, your dad and Trent whittling, you know, passing the time, wasn't the greatest duck hunt in the world. It looked like y'all killed the crap out of them. But,
I mean, it was good. I'm not complaining. I mean, it was, we had, oh, I guess we had four or five shooters and we shot 10 or 11 mallards and five or six teal. I mean, that's great. I'm not at all complaining. But I mean, you know, I know some guys that shot 15 limits, you know, stuff like
yeah.
that we're not that far away. So there, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
The story behind that was you didn't want to put Trip, which I can understand. Was that the first time he had been to the public with you?
No. I mean, he's maybe been 7 or 8 times, maybe 10 times. 2 years ago, he went the first time. Last year, he went 5-6 times, something like that. And then he goose hunted with us in September this year. So maybe this was his 7th or 8th time to hunt in the woods. But for sure his first opening day. And opening day is just, you know, it's always a little more crowded, a little more jittery. Everybody's full of piss and vinegar, you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter whether it's ducks or not. It's like everybody's going. So it's always crowded and all that. And so I was a little nervous about all that. And But man, look, the tension's real because, I mean, I love my son, but at the same time, I really still want to kill his duck. So, you know, I was telling a buddy a week or so ago, I mean, I look back with fond memories, but in the moment, listening to other folks volley, that was hard. You know, I mean, you're sitting there like, dang, I wish we could do this with Trip and shoot our ducks, you know, in big wads. But that's okay. It was what it was. And after the fact, and I was able to kind of think through it and, you know, one thing that was funny, I mean, he's just a little dude. So numbers and, you know, his concept of numbers is a little skewed, but I guess he had told everybody, he counted them and had counted 15 ducks. And he told a couple people at the ramp that we shot 15, you know, they asked him and he told them, and somehow between the ramp and that afternoon at camp, he had turned the number 15 into 50 in his mind. And so all afternoon, he told everybody we shot 50. We shot 50 ducks. And then he went to, you know, we came home Sunday afternoon, or he came home Sunday afternoon with my dad, and he told everybody, you know, at church Sunday afternoon that we shot 50. And so, I mean, by Tuesday afternoon, my phone was ringing, man, y'all shot 50 Saturday morning? You know, it's like, no, good Lord, no. but I say that to just say that his perception of what went on, we shot 10 mallards and 5 extra ducks, was exactly the same as if we'd have shot 50 mallards. I honestly don't think his remembrance of it would be any different in his mind. I mean, he saw ducks land on the water. He saw us jump them up and shoot them. He saw them work. He saw them come down through the trees. He got to walk around in his waders and he didn't fall in. You know, he got to whittle a stick with granddaddy. I mean, like, it was a collection of all the coolest things in his mind. And so that's after the fact. We weren't going to, at first, we weren't going to do anything with opening weekend because, I mean, after Saturday, Sunday we shot 6 or 8, and then Monday was awful. Tuesday was awful. Wednesday was awful. Really, a lot of the rest of the first split was really, really slow hunting. And so we really didn't think we were going to get footage out of it. And Bill and I got talking about it during that split. And I said, man, you know, the whole thing that we're trying to do here with this series is we're trying to portray it in a very cinematic way, thoughtful way, professional, cinematic, thoughtful way. But at the same time, like, we're trying to also bring in kind of the real aspect of it, not like reality TV, like a television show series, but we're trying to be real about what happened. And so, like, let's do this. Let's be real about what happened. We legit could have gone. We could have, you know, I could have gotten in the race. I could have gotten the spot that we needed, and we could have shot however many limits of ducks we had people. Like, we could have done that, but we made a decision to try to, you know, elevate what was best and most comfortable for Trip. And at the end of the day, his recollection of that would be exactly the same, maybe better than if I'd gotten up and, you know, gotten in the thick of it with everybody and we'd shot 8 or 10 limits, mallards quick. You know, I mean, in his mind, his little first grade mind, those experiences would have been the same. Maybe what we did was better. And so we talked through that and kind of was like, all right, well, I mean, I don't really like to put out a film that's not about killing, because I do think, you know, you go duck hunting to kill stuff. But this one was kind of cool. You know, it was a neat experience. And it was, you know, we talked about it at dinner on Friday night. Everybody was, you know, it was kind of like we talked about it around the tables, like, what do y'all want to do? And we knew what our decision was, mediocre to, you know, or less hunting in a controlled environment without anybody else around, and we didn't have to get up early, versus totally chaotic environment. Somebody's going to have to run the hole, and somebody's going to have to come back out and get Trip and Dad, and, you know, Uncle and all that, and run shifts and all that malarkey. And we all said, man, let's, you know, let's just stay together. Let's make sure that this is a good time for Trip and that he remembers it. And let's just take our time. It's just five of us. And, we've all killed plenty of ducks, you know, and let's go enjoy ourselves. And hopefully we'll kill our fair share. And we did. It was a good time. So,
did you ever catch yourself leaning back, watching your dad and Trip through the hunt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because, look, for me, my dad being there was really special. I mean, really special. But I'll be honest with you, my uncle being there and my dad being there together was equally as special. My uncle is a doctor, and he and my dad – or who I grew up hunting with. I didn't have friends and buddies that hunted. It was the two of them. And they started hunting together in the early 80s and learned together. And so when I was coming along in the late 80s, early 90s, it wasn't like they'd been doing it for 20 or 30 years. I mean, and one of the things we actually talked about that morning while we were hunting was that I never got to experience, and they never got to experience, three generations together. Because their dad didn't hunt. He liked to play golf, but he didn't care anything about being outside in the cold and, you know, the water, and just hunting just didn't do it for him. And so every time Trip would walk 3 or 4 feet, 5 feet, you know, they were both like, hold on to somebody's hand, you know, use that walking stick. Now don't fall. And, you know, Spence, he's going to fall, you know, and just kept on. Finally, I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, y'all did not act like this when I was walking around at this age. I mean, y'all just were like, if you fall, you're going to be cold. And they got to laughing about it. And finally, like, my uncle went, you know, you're right. We really didn't have anybody older than us telling us how stupid we were for letting a 7-8-year-old kid walk around in red ball waders, you know, and tripping on stuff. Cause I mean, I at that age, you fall in every time you go hunting, you know, you walk 2 or 3 feet, you fall in. It's just par for the course. And so it was fun. From a lot of different angles, it was a neat and fun time. And I think they appreciated it as much as I did. And I thought it was really special just to, take, you know, I don't know how much of it he'll remember, but, he got to hunt
every minute.
He got to hunt with, the two guys that really are my heroes, my mentors. And I wish that I could tell you that I got to hunt with my dad's heroes and mentors, you know what I mean? And so the generational aspect of that was really special to me. If that makes any sense, I just didn't get to experience that. And as much as I elevated my dad and my uncle in my own mind, you know, and into hero status, I just think it would be so cool to have hunted as a kid with the person that they did that to, that they idolized and that they made hero status. And regardless of how much Tripp is ever able to remember about the specific details, he'll be able to look at that picture and say, I did that. I hunted with my granddaddy. Neither one of my grandfathers hunted much. My mother's dad, he liked to fish. And so we fished a good bit together. But he didn't hardly hunt at all. And so hunting with your granddaddy is something that a lot of people remember. It's not something that's not a memory I have, but it'll certainly be one of Tripp's, and that's a special. So
did your dad say anything about it afterwards?
Yeah, he said a few things. He didn't say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? So my dad's a very thoughtful, reflective guy, and he's a very tender-hearted man. And he told me afterwards, he gave me a big hug. Tuesday morning when I got back to work, he gave me a big hug and he said, man, I just want you to know how special that was. And I said, I feel the same way. And he said, I really didn't think that you were going to, he said, I really thought you were going to want to get in the thick of it with everybody. And he said, I didn't want to tell you not to because, you know, I'm your dad and I want you to do what's fun and I want to see you have a good time and all that. And he said, we're really not going to get to do this all that many times. And I said, yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, whatever the number is, it won't ever be enough, you know? And so he gave me a big old hug and he said, I just want you to know, I appreciate you, doing that and making a priority out of that. And, we were actually going to ride separate vehicles he wanted to ride in separate vehicles because he wanted to go over a little early on Friday. And I called him Thursday night and I said, man, you're making a mistake. And he said, why is that? I said, man, Tripp really wants to ride in the truck with you over there. And I said, you need to just leave your truck and we'll figure something else out, but we need to ride together. And so Tuesday when we talked about it, he said, I really appreciate you telling me that Tripp wanted to ride together and all that. And he said, that's really meaningful. So yeah, it was a very special time for sure.
Great, great job. I think that a ton of people from Duck South really, really enjoyed it, watched it. And like I said, man, y'all are doing something really good in the webisodic world. It's good stuff. Hey, I got it. Before we close out, I want to say this. You know, you said something very important that I was getting on to my mom about the other day. I guess it was over Thanksgiving holiday, somewhere around the same time as you. But I told my mom, I said, man, they're in the middle of nowhere, my parents' house.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, man, let my kids just go. They'll be fine. They're not dumb enough to run in the road. They're just going to go outside. Oh, I can't let them go outside without watching them. I'm like, just let them go. You used to tell me, just show up when it gets dark, you know?
Right.
The grandparents.
Right.
Of today, man,
that's
that fun. Let us used to do whatever.
I know it. I think that's part of being a grandparent, though, because I mean, I remember my grandparents were always, you know, nervous like that, that something was going to happen. My parents were not. I mean, good Lord. I mean, you know, my dad had me pulling a lawnmower around on a little trailer by hand, you know, at 12 or 13 years old. I mean, you know, like, if we thought we could do it, he was like, yeah, go for it. You know, but as grandparents, they're like, you know, I don't know. You might cut your foot off. You know, you might, you know, like, something funny how life changes you, you know.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, Spence, thank you for taking a few minutes, because I definitely wanted to get you on here. Middle of Friday afternoon, but I wanted to get you on here while the steak was still sizzling with the video and talk about it, because it's so good, and I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Like I said, appreciate you taking the time to be here. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.